You are listening to your new puppies podcast, starting you and your dog off on the right paw. Here's your host, Debbie Salento.
Hello, and welcome to episode 94 of Your New Puppies podcast. I'm Debbie, and today you're going to get to hear from Justine Shermans. So Justine is the expert when it comes to working with families, with parents, kids, and dogs. In fact, she is the founder of The Family Dog. And if you've been listening carefully, you've heard me talk about The Family Dog before, because I have been following her and I have been part of her programs since I became a trainer. Like literally, it was might have been a week after I finished my mentorship that my mentor turned me on to The Family Dog and a program that they had for trainers to help families with kids raise a puppy. And I was a brand new trainer. I wasn't a parent. So I was like, yes, give me all of the information you have. And I like fell in love with this program because it completely aligned with the way I wanted to train. And to this day, it greatly influences, even though, you know, I'm over a decade later and I now have all the experience, it still greatly influences how I work with kids and dogs. So I was very excited when she agreed to come on to the podcast. So if you've been listening to me for a while and you like the way that I approach dog training, I approach raising your puppy, then you're going to really love her because she takes these complicated situations, you know, parenting kids and trying to parent a dog at the same time. And she really breaks it down into easy to understand, easily digestible, practical advice. So I fully took advantage of having the expert and having her answer some questions. I ended up having to split it up into two different episodes. So it's all one conversation, but it went a little long and I like to keep my episode short. So I just split it up into two. I'm going to release them right after each other. So if you're listening in real time, you will not have to wait long. And if you're not, then the other episode's probably already out. So this is episode 94, which is part one. Episode 95 is going to be part two. So in this episode, Justine is going to tell us all about how to tell if your kids are ready for a dog, and if they are, how you prepare them for one. And in part two, we're going to talk about now that the dog is home, what do you do when things go wrong? Because I've talked about it, how common it can be for you to bring a puppy home and now the kids like want nothing to do with the puppy. Maybe they're even a little hostile towards the puppy because it jumps, it scratches, they nip, they, you know, the little shark teeth, the puppy can be very rambunctious. And it can also happen the other way around, where maybe the kids are too much for the puppy, or the puppy is overwhelmed or doesn't like to be hugged and kissed, and that's what's happening. So she's going to tell us all about how to handle those situations. And also in part two, she's going to tell us about the Dial Method, which is her new program for families and dogs, which I actually got to take a weekend workshop on and got to learn the ins and outs of this program. And I think it's absolutely wonderful. So stick around for part two because we'll talk all about that and I'll let you know how you can find more information on the program, because you can do it as a self-study. There's a video, a book, or workbook. There's a couple different ways to do it. But if you are somebody who wants a little bit more guidance, wants to work with me, I'm putting together a four-week workshop that I'm just going to walk you right through the Dial Method, through the video that's available, through the workbooks that's available, and then you'll have me to help you apply it and answer extra questions. Again, more information on that at the end of part two of the interview. Before we get there, let's jump on over and learn from Justine how to know if our kids are ready for a dog and how to prepare them for it. I hope you enjoy. So hello and welcome, Justine. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat.
Thank you so much for being here. Anybody who listens to my podcast has probably heard me talk about her with
without actually knowing it. You already know her. Justine is the founder of The Family Dog and the creator of the Dial Method, which we will talk about a little bit throughout this interview. So first, to start us out, what is your story? How did you get here?
Okay, I really should have refined this story to be able to tell it, you know, in under 20 seconds. But I was the kid who wrote a million letters to my parents saying, can I have a dog? And they always said no. And they bought me hamsters and birds and other things that were quite fine, but never a dog. And then they got me in this really smart headlock of saying that if I really loved dogs, then I would stop asking for one because they worked full time and they were never home. And we were at school. Well, they were home, but they were at work. We were at school and they were like, that's kind of mean and don't ask for a dog. Wah! So, yes, get the violins out. So anyway, at the age of 29, I'd moved to the States. I got my first dog and I was like the person that was in the training class doing everything. I wanted to be the best. I wanted him to be the best. I just wanted to, you know, like nail the training. And unfortunately, he had some pretty major behavioral issues. And around that time, not only my excitement about learning about dog training and also all the stuff I was going through with him, I ended up kind of falling into an apprenticeship in New York City with a dog trainer there. And shortly afterwards, I moved to New Jersey and started teaching classes at a dog training school there. And I was pregnant immediately, like almost as soon as I got that job. And it didn't take me very long to realize that what I was teaching in the dog training school and what I was doing at home looked really quite different. So some of the skills that I needed from my dog and some of the skills I needed from myself didn't look like the average dog training stuff that we were teaching in classes. And so I started a company way back when, 2009, I think it was, called The Family Dog, that assisted young parents or parents of young children to help create some kind of harmony in their household where the dog was happy, the kids were happy, and the parents weren't losing their minds in between, because I was living that life myself. So, and that kind of took off, just it exploded, honestly. I was so busy and I wanted to be really a kind of a stay-at-home mum, and I was a stay-at-home mum slash a very busy dog trainer. And along the way, we gathered some interest from dog professionals that wanted to work with families and didn't really know how to do it. And so another side of The Family Dog was born. Debbie's raising her hand. Another side of The Family Dog was born where I started working with professionals to help them understand what was going on behind the curtain in a family home and to coach them and create programs for them. So cut to 2024. And yeah, I'm seeing both sides of the coin, both the public and professionals too.
Yeah, I raised my hand there because that's exactly how I found you right at the beginning of my dog training journey. And I wonder if people realize, like, you had a lot of influence with me, especially with the kids, because you take the same kind of approach where it's like, let's take this from the dog side of the story, not necessarily the, like, what do we want to teach the dog? It's like, what does the dog need to thrive?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right? And just like we would do with children, I guess, you know, when you kind of have to see it through everyone's perspective and then try to build bridges between everybody so that they can live together happily. It's not really about being right or wrong. It's really about just creating some understanding and harmony. Harmony sounds a bit of a hokey word, but I still haven't found a better one yet. But
I love it. I love it. Peaceful. Peaceful is another.
Peaceful, that's nice. Yeah. Peaceful household.
Yeah. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. Like, since you are the expert with kids, dogs, families, and, you know, especially supporting parents, people who are thinking about getting a dog, getting a new puppy, how can they tell, or like, what questions can they ask themselves? Like, are the kids ready to get this dog? Is the family as a whole ready to add to their household?
Oh, it's such a good question. And it's such a big question. I actually wrote a blog about this. Are you ready for a dog? I probably should have had that pulled up on my computer screen to remember what I actually said about it. But I think that the best kind of parallel that I can give here is if you already have a child or children, how ready are you to add another one? Because that's really what it feels like. You're adding another living, breathing, feeling being into your house that is going to definitely take your energy, your time, your attention, your focus, and it can bring so much joy to your family. And it can also at the same time be hard work. So as far as the ages of the kids, I think that's really household dependent. And one of the first things I would say about this is, honestly, the kids are going to do nothing. let's just like call it as it is.
Despite all the promises they made.
Despite all the promises. I think even if you really do have super helpful children, just take what they say with a grain of salt, because they may be really helpful and I might be proved completely wrong. But in my experience, you as a parent have to be the person who's going to be happy getting up in the middle of the night, letting the dog out, taking them out, showing them the world, helping to fulfill their needs and not putting that emphasis on the children. And we'll probably get into this later, but there's some things that only parents can do. I really like to split up the roles in what kids do and what parents do, just as if you had a new baby, there would be ways that your 7-year-old child could help out with the new baby, but you wouldn't be like, oh, we're going out for dinner, so we'll see you later, and just leave them with a newborn. Like, that's just, you know, we would never do that. And so we have to kind of think along the same lines with dogs, like, what are kids actually capable of being responsible for that's going to be safe for both them and the dog?
I actually remember, I don't know if you want to talk about it a little bit, you made a graphic about like, is your kid ready to like walk the dog?
Yeah.
Right. And oh my gosh, I loved it, because it was like, can they handle an emergency? And it's like, are they mature enough to know what to do if something goes wrong? And then like, I was like,
well, that actually followed, honestly, that followed me being bitten by a dog when I was walking. It was only a few years ago as well. It's probably about 4 or 5 years ago. I was walking my dogs in the park, and this woman was really struggling with her dog. Her dog had been barking and lunging at my dogs. And I kind of hid myself behind a bush to make life easier for her, because I could tell she was having a really hard time. And she was on top of this dog, holding it down. And I was feeling really nauseous, thinking that she was punishing the dog for barking and growling. Actually, what happened was the dog's harness had come off, and she was trying to restrain the dog. It wasn't a harness, actually, it was a buckle collar. It had come off, and she let go of the dog. The dog came charging over to us. And I ended up holding my really little dog, because he's a terror and would have loved a fight, but he only weighs 11 pounds. And so I had him in my arms, and then my other 40-pound dog was just next to me, and they started sniffing, and it seemed okay at the beginning. And then all of a sudden the dog dived on my dog, and it was really frightening. And I tried to split them up, which was probably a rookie move, but you know, as a mama, you just want to, like, my dog was screaming and it was awful. And so we actually, everybody ended up unscathed except for me. I had a nice big puncture mark in my hand. But I was thinking, what if that had been one of my children? What if I had let my 13-year-old daughter, even at 13, like, that's a lot of responsibility to put on a kid's shoulders. And so that graphic was to try to help people really sort through the information. Like, how big is my child? How strong are they? How big and strong is my dog? How much training has my dog had? Will my dog listen to my kid in an emergency? How good is my dog around other dogs? How good is my dog around people? What could potentially happen? Could a crazy kind of moment ensue where a dog comes flying at you off leash and then your child has no idea what to do? So that was just to try and clarify for people the amount of things that could potentially go wrong on what seems like a really innocent walk around the block.
Yeah, and definitely something that is nice to kind of take off your shoulders. You know, it's like, oh, the kid can, you know, take them for a walk. So yeah, so
that's, who doesn't want that, by the way? If you're a busy parent, you're like, please, I gotta cook dinner, I gotta do the laundry, there's all this stuff to do. So it seems like it's a good solution, but it's not the way that I, if I had my kind of message spread anywhere, that would not be one of the roles I would love kids to help, like help out on.
Like, okay, so if you've decided, okay, we're I'm ready for another dog, because that's really what you're saying, is that the parent has to be like, it's not necessarily the family, it's like, are you ready to take care of another dog?
Exactly.
The families that I work with, like the majority of the moms are like, it's like I've had another kid. It's like that much work. They all say it.
We should sell it. I think that's something that we do in the public. We make dogs out to be super cute and lovely and, you know, fit in with the family. And that's, and sometimes that's really true. They are so much work if you're doing it right, honestly.
Yeah, especially a puppy. And like, and that's the whole thing. And I'm like, when you see a family that has a dog that seems low maintenance, ask them how they were when they were a puppy. Like, what did they do, you know, to raise the dog to be, you know, now part of the family that seems like it's less work?
I'm just going to say, I don't want to steer you off course, but I think that this is an important point to also say, that when you're choosing the dog for your family, be really mindful about the dog breed that you're picking, because that will also speak to how much work you can expect to put in. So if you're getting a really drivey dog that was born to either herd or rat or protect it, all of these different things, you are going to have a lot of weight on your shoulders making sure that their needs are met, whether that's exercise, enrichment. They're going to need more from you. So I think that's really important to state.
I love that. 100%. I'm really glad you brought that up, because that is 100%. You're right. I mean, really, for anybody, not just families, but, you know, especially like the herding breeds, who will tend to nip the kid at the kids more. Like, they're going to be little ankle biters. You know, I find a lot of families struggle with those types of breeds. You know, they're adorable, they're cute, but, you know, there's more work. Not saying that you can't do it, but it tends to be more work.
Yeah. And I think we can become really empathetic towards the herding dogs when we realize, like, we actually created them to do these jobs. They were supposed to be outside all day. They were supposed to be chasing. They were supposed to be incredibly intense. They were supposed to respond to any environmental contrast. So anything moving, whoosh, you need to be on it. And now we have them at home. We'd really rather them just sleep on their bed, behave themselves, chew on their toy, not chase the children, not chase cars, skateboards, anything like that. But I mean, that's really the reality of their life, is that that's what they were born to do. And we made them that way. So being smart about which kind of dog you're choosing to share your life with, I think can make a massive difference.
Definitely, definitely. And I have some resources for that. And I'll put like links in my show notes. And I always like to tell my clients, you know, look for, like, even if you're adopting, like, even if you're rescuing and it's a mixed breed, you still kind of know what to look for. And, you know, don't look at pictures. Do not look at any pictures of any dogs. Look at the personalities first. What breeds tend to follow what personalities, and like you said, like, what is their drives, what were they bred to do, what fits into your family, before you start looking at the fluffy pictures. Because I mean, who doesn't love like a big fluffy golden doodle? But there's a lot of things to consider with them, you know.
Exactly. It's like a marriage, right? You know, you have to look at the person and be attracted to them. That's important. But if there's not a lot under there that's going to keep you like connected, and you don't like doing the same things, and you don't have the same hobbies, and you don't have the same speed that you move through life, the relationship's going to go far south. You really need to have a lot more in common than just like finding each other cute.
Yes. Okay. So once you've found the dog, you've decided, you know, we're ready, I'm ready as a parent, we're going to get a dog, we know the breed, it fits into our lifestyle, how do you prepare the kids? And I know this probably depends a lot on the personality of the kids and like what their expectations of bringing a dog home. But because a lot of times they want to be like, I want to train them, I want to hug them, I want to love them, I want to do this, this, and this. And maybe you have to be like, sometimes we got to give the dog space. Sometimes, you know, maybe you're not going to be able to walk them. Like, how would you prepare the kids before you bring the dog home, like what their roles are going to be?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really great question. And so much of it starts in the mindset of the kids. And I know we've talked about this a little bit, but if you can tell your children that they are going to be their dog's BFF, and this is the blueprint for how to get there, then that's the quickest way to get them on board. I think once we help kids really understand dogs, and they really are good at this as well. This is what I love about working with children, that they get it quickly. When they understand a little bit more about what makes dogs tick, then they can be on board with the program. So things like hugging dogs, for example, that's a natural thing that kids want to do. We're primates, we like to do that. We just hugging and getting all up in each other's faces is really natural. But for dogs, it's really not always natural. Some dogs will tolerate it and be okay with it, and some are really not okay with it. And I've seen relationships deteriorate fast because of kids hugging and kissing on dogs. So one of the ways that you can describe this, if you have a child that's like really hands-on, really physical, is talk about hugging. And you could say, you know, hugs depends who like the hug comes from as to how much you might like it. So you might like a hug from your mom, but you may not like a hug from old Uncle Jimmy, who's just walked in the door and you haven't seen him in 6 years. Could be a bit weird, right? And then you might like a hug from your mom when you're at home before you're going to sleep, but you might not like a hug from your mom if she ran onto the soccer field while you were playing with your friends and gave you a hug. Awkward. Then you might like a hug for, you know, 2 seconds, but when you're being held for too long, then it feels uncomfortable and you're like, get off me now. So and the way you're hugged, it could, there's so many things that go into hugs. And so we have to say to kids, like, dogs can have all of these feelings as well. Just because they're a dog doesn't make their sensory system different to ours and their emotional system different to ours. So the best thing we can do is try to teach kids about body language and try to say less is more at the beginning and watch the dog and see how they respond. And I love to teach kids pat pet paws, which is you can get the it's a free poster on my website, but basically to instead of going up to the dog and just putting yourself on the dog, first of all, ask the kids to stay where they are and pat their leg and invite the dog to them. And then the dog comes over. Great. They're saying, yep, I'm up, I'm down for it. Let's you can definitely get you can give me some loving. But then, so that's pat your leg and then pet the dog. You want to pet the dog with one hand only and on the dog's body. Because the one hand's really important, stops kids grabbing and it stops the dog feeling trapped and it allows them an exit route on the other side, you know, of their body that they can leave. And most dogs don't like to be pet on the head. So this is like a simple, you know, body touching. And then the third piece is paws. So you pet for like 3 seconds and then you take your hands off. And see what the dog does. Because sometimes dogs have a really hard time disengaging. They kind of get stuck there. So look at them and see, does it look like they actually want a little bit more love or they don't? And if they don't, we're going to teach our kids that they're finished, they're done. That the hug is over. It's now turned into the weird moment on the ball field where we feel uncomfortable. So that would be one of the first things that I would do. And then the other piece that I think for parents is really important, this isn't necessarily about teaching the kids, but for the parents to set up what I call an off space. So an area where the dog can go to chill out that they enjoy, that has like bones and toys and fun stuff that is away from the children to help them decompress. And also for the really busy parent that just cannot be managing the dynamics between the kids and the dog 24/7. It's just too much work sometimes. And so separating them, knowing the right moments to separate the kid and the dog is absolutely everything. So put a lot of eggs in your basket of having this magical space that your dog really enjoys because it will pay you back 8 billion-fold. Like it is, I'm sure you've talked about this on one of your podcasts, Debbie, because
I think it's really powerful to give them permission to do that. Do you just need to like separate the kid? Like just separate them. It's fine. It's completely fine. You're not failing. You are actually doing your job.
winning.
You're doing
You're
what
winning.
needs to be done. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And like I always see like that relief, like, oh, I can do that. Like I don't have to like fix the problem while it's no. You know, like I'm like, I would rather you put your dog in their crate because I work with puppies. So like mine is the crate. And you need to walk in another room and scream into a pillow. I would rather you do that then deal with your dog while you're frustrated or why there's so you're overstimulated, like, because it's just going to be this feedback loop.
Yeah.
And 100%, like, that is part of raising your dog. It's part of having that plan. But that is actually, I think, one of the most powerful parts of your dial method is, spoiler alert, she, you know, you talk a lot about, you know, seeing your dog, and then you talk a lot about teaching your dog how to, teaching your kids how to see your dog and how to respect that, you know, that space. Because I find that sometimes the kids, like when the dog doesn't want to be pet anymore, like the kids can take it personally. So I love your analogy of like the hugs and saying like the dogs have those same feelings and it's okay, you know? And like how great it would it be for you to be their big brother, their big sister, and help them instead of doing something that makes them
Yeah, they
uncomfortable.
love you more. They because they trust you that you can. You have like oh, in the dial method, I use the dog gogs, but these are like dog goggles where you can see your dog in this whole magical way. You're extra special. But when you really look at your dog and you can read their body language, you can see that they're not comfortable, and you are the person that steps away and says, "Oh, I get it. You're tired. You're grumpy. You've had enough. Whatever. I'm going to leave you alone." Imagine what that feels like, the relief that that feels like for your dog. Then they're like, wow, this kid is cool. He gets me or she gets me. And I think that's the big message that we want to sell to kids is like, it's not just loving on your dog is not going to be the quickest way to their heart. Trusting you, believing in you is the way to create connection.
And that's it for part one. I know it cuts off a little bit, but like I said, the conversation kept going. But then we get into after the dog comes home and what to do if things go wrong. And we talked a lot about that. In fact, part two is going to be part a little longer than part one. So that's going to be episode 95 if you want to jump over there. But I hope you had as many aha moments as I have had over the years with Justine from the family dog. But for now, if you are enjoying this podcast, you can rate and review it wherever you listen. That helps other puppy owners find the podcast. You can also continue training with me if you check out my website, playtimepaws.com. I have both in-person and digital programs, including my signature program, Your Perfect Puppy, which has just been upgraded. It has double the amount of lessons and includes a 6-month membership to Playtime Paws Academy, where you get weekly live access to me to get you through bringing your new puppy home. You can find information on that at playtimepaws.com/puppy. I thank you so much for listening. I'll speak with you soon. Bye for now.